there I'll be in the midst. And so he is here. If you miss him, it's your fault. Amen. It's your fault. Now I'm continuing on our speech. Mastering our speech. I'm preaching on a touchy subject today. You say you have been. Well, I'm preaching today on gossiping. Gossip. Proverbs chapter 6. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs for quite a bit. And by the way, on Sunday night, we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. And written by the same fella, Solomon. The writer of Proverbs, also the writer of Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm going to read a little bit out of Proverbs chapter 6, and then in just a little bit, John chapter 17. I want you to look at some things today concerning our speech and concerning gossip and how we get caught up in gossip and what are we to do when gossip falls in our lap? What are we to do when it's about us? Sometimes you're the victim of giving gossip. Sometimes you're the victim of gossip. And so gossip is something that hurts. The way we speak and how we speak it is either going to hurt somebody or help somebody. You see, there's no middle ground with speaking. You're either speaking to help or you're speaking to hurt. You're speaking from the heart. By the way, the Bible tells us, from out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, if you go around speaking derogatory, then odds are your heart's derogatory. If you go around spitting out cursings, then no doubt that's what's in your heart. Or it wouldn't come out. Amen. So I'm not telling you, that's what the Bible tells us. We speak what's in our heart. And we, you and I today, as children of God, have the grandest opportunity to do so much good with the things we say. We could do so much good with the things we say to somebody else. And could so much make their day. You know, many people's day has been made or has been broken by what somebody said to them. And how they said it and why they said it and where they said it. Now, I want to be a person today that people want to associate with. I want people to be able to talk to the preacher. Amen. I want people to be able to gather with the preacher. Oh, don't gather the preacher. He's the preacher. Let's have a get-together. Let's don't invite the preacher. We might say something the preacher don't want to hear. Huh? Listen, if you're afraid to invite the preacher, you shouldn't have your gathering. Amen. Because, listen, I want to be around people who want to associate with a preacher, with anybody really. But I want to be a person that people want to associate with and be around. Not a person that when they see me coming, they hope I go a different way. Amen. I've seen people come in the grocery store and I'm thinking, oh, great day, I hope they go somewhere else. Amen. I don't want to be that type of person, do you? There are people, I'm just being honest with you, there are people that you just dread to see coming. You know why you dread to see them coming? Because you know they will have nothing good to say. They won't say anything good, and they will either complain about something or they will have some news that you feel like, I wish I hadn't heard. Why'd you tell me that? Hey, man, I didn't want to hear that. You've ruined my day. You know what it's called? Let me tell you what it's called. It's called gossip. Sometimes it's just best if you keep it between you, the one it's about, and God. Amen. Sometimes we do better just to say, God, listen to me and you. I'm going to pray and you help them. Amen. Now look here, Proverbs chapter 6. And you probably know these verses. We've read them before in this series of messages. Proverbs chapter 6 and beginning of verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, and seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now pay close attention to that last one I just read. Pay close attention to what it said. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. You see, if God despises it, we better despise it. And if God hates it, we better hate it. There are some things God hates. And I'm going to tell you, he hates discord among the brethren. He that soweth discord among the brethren. The number one way to sow discord among the brethren is to gossip. A gossip about something to someone else in the name of God or in the name of benefiting. For example, I hear this many times. I just called you to ask you to pray for the preacher. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Lord knows you need to pray for him. I just called you to pray for the preacher. Aren't you going to ask me what he done? Do you want to know why I want you to pray for the preacher? Now here we go. Here it goes. Listen. Oh, please ask me. It's killing me. Oh, or I want you to pray for preacher. You know what he done? Here's what he done. Can you believe he done that? And we'll have a 45-minute prayer request being on what the preacher done. Are you with me today? It's good enough to say just pray for the preacher. He needs it. Amen. Amen. Just pray for the preacher. He needs it. Things are not going well. And leave her there. Amen. But we burn up inside and we chew up inside because I just got to tell it. Oh, I can't stand it no longer. You know, some people just can't stand it. Don't tell them nothing. They can't stand it. Because they'll spit it out just like pouring water out of a bottle. I'm telling you, let me tell you what. It becomes gossip. It becomes sowing discord among the brethren. How many families, how many churches, how many marriages have been split because of gossip? Because someone told something that should never have been told in the beginning and should have been kept quiet and let God handle the situation. There's been a lot of things tore up because people should have talked when they should have been quiet. Amen? I'm not talking about disagreements. I know we have disagreements and we can have them. We have them. And we can have disagreements and we can sit down and we can work them out. Maybe you disagree with something I said. That's okay. I'm not against that. You come and talk to me and we'll get it done. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't agree with something I'm getting ready to do. I'm not against that. I'll listen to you. You may be right. I don't know. But you come to me and we'll sit down and work it out. But I'm going to tell you, here's where the problem comes in. When you take your disagreement to your neighbor and say, I don't agree with the preacher because this, what he's doing is wrong. And here's why it's wrong. And do you agree with me that it's wrong? Well, then you go tell your neighbor and you get them fired up. And after a while, you got a fire you can't put out when we could have put it out one-on-one. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, that turns into discord among the brethren. Hey, let's work it out one-on-one. I'll talk to anybody. Amen. And if I think you're right, I'll tell you. If I think you're wrong, I'll tell you. Amen. But I won't belittle you, and I won't carry your name beyond my office doors. It'll be between me and you and God, and we'll settle it up. Amen. And we'll get it going. Hallelujah. You with me? Are you with me today? You see, we need not gossip about it. Gossip turns into trouble, and gossip turns people against people. And you know what that does? That sows discord among the brethren. Look what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." He didn't include a gospel in that anywhere, did he? He said, "Peacemakers, whatever it takes for you to make peace, let's make it." Amen. Oh, if you don't like the way I'm doing things, and you know, it's okay. I'm not against it. You come and tell me, and I'll tell you whether it's going to change or not. And then that'll settle it up. Amen. Why is this sin of gossip so detrimental? I'm going to tell you why it is. What is it about gossip that becomes so damaging? I'm going to tell you what it does. It breaks the unity that God intended for His children to have. It breaks the unity of the group. You know what? We sit here today, we're bounded together. We got a stronghold in this room today. We're bounded by the cross, and we're bounded by the same things. And let me tell you what, when two or more are bound together, you have a strong cord. That's what the Bible says. You can't break a three-cord rope. You ever tried it? They're bound together. But gossip breaks the unity that God intended. Jesus, turn your Bibles over to John 17. Jesus gave a priestly prayer here. And you see, God wants His children to have unity one with another, to be joined together and like-minded with one purpose, to be strong in that purpose, and not let the world break us. And by the way, gossip is of the world. And when gossip comes in, it weakens that stronghold. It weakens it. But look at what it says. In John 17, verse 22 and 23. The Bible says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." That's Jesus praying. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in," notice that word, "one." In one. "And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." You see, what God wants for us today is to be gathered together in one accord. We gather together where we pay attention to one another. And when one's weakened, well, somebody else has got to be stronger. Let me tell you, that's what we got to do. We can't, when one gets weak, we can't kick them in the ditch and keep kicking them under. When one becomes weak, we got to become that stronghold for the one that is weak, so the one that is weak can get back into the stronghold. Let me tell you what, we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all in need of help from Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what, without Him we'd be in trouble. So we ought to band together in one in unity and lift each other up, even when disagreements come. And we can't do that if we're given to gossip. We can't do it. 2 Corinthians 13:11. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Now, gossip breaks that unity. That's required of us. Now, I'm going to give you some types. Let me give you some types of gossip today. Number one is the rumor. You ever hear a rumor? You ever get a rumor? You hear a rumor. Now, let me tell you the first thing about a rumor. You don't know whether it's truth or not. It's a rumor. Amen? You don't know whether it's truth unless you go check it out yourself. You see, you hear a rumor, whether true or not, and it begins to burn like hot coals inside of you. You just have to tell someone. You just, "Oh, man, I tell you, I can't handle it no longer." You know, I've seen people saying, "Boy, I've got something to tell you. Boy, I really got something to tell you. Boy, you know, they want me to say, go ahead and tell it. Most of the time I won't. They say, I got something to tell you. Oh, preacher, I got something to tell you. Would you please ask me?" No. I mean, I heard something. Oh, I heard something. There's the problem right there. You heard. I heard something. Sometimes we just casually slip it in. I heard something. You know, I'm just trying to find out the truth. Let me tell you what it is, and you tell me what's true. Well, he doesn't know either, so you let me. You tell me now if that's the truth or not. If it is, you shake your head. If it ain't, you just be quiet. We ain't playing charades. I just heard it. I wonder if it's true. Exodus 23:1. The Bible says, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. What the Bible's telling us, it just better be quiet. It's just best to be quiet. Amen? And let's investigate some things and let's find out. And I'm telling you, I'm not against correcting wrong. And if wrong's going on, I think we ought to take the right approaches to fix it. And I'm all for that, but I'm all for knowing the truth. And knowing what's going on and not a rumor. Because rumors have ruined many people. Have come to find out down the road there wasn't no truth to it at all. You see, but you can't undo what's been said. You can't back up on what's went on. And so we need to be mindful of things. Number two of the types of gossip is the busybody. There's a busybody. This is a person who really has too much time on her hands. They don't have enough to do. They need some more things to do. They spend, but here's how they spend their time. They spend their time trying to find gossip. Or they eavesdrop. I've seen people eavesdropping on my conversations. They try to find out what you're saying. What's the preacher saying to him? They eavesdrop. They search the web. They keep up with Facebook. Well, I think the biggest liar in the world is Facebook. Amen? You better not believe nothing that comes across that thing. I mean, truthfully. But they'll get on Facebook and try to figure out what's going on, to see what they can hear, to see what they can see, and see what they can learn. You see, this is the busybody. Now, Paul said something about busybodies over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. He said, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now, you know what he said? You know what I believe he said? I believe he said, you're just mind your business. Amen. You're take care. It's like I told him in Sunday school this morning. And if you weren't in Sunday school this morning, we talked about showing favoritism. Well, James talks about that. Go read James chapter 2. See what he said. But I told them that, you know, we spend more time in everybody else's business than we do our own. Here's the thing. James, over there in chapter 1, James talks about looking into the mirror, beholding your face in a glass. Now, I got enough time taking care of this old boy. When I look in the glass in that mirror, it shows me all kind of mess. Amen? When I begin to correct this old boy, when I take time to correct this old boy, I find out that I've just about took all day to get him lined out. Amen. I haven't had time to dabble in anybody else's business. Hadn't had time to worry about what everybody else is doing. I've had to take care of myself. Amen. You see, James said if we look at ourselves in that mirror and we don't see what needs to be fixed, and we see what needs to be fixed and don't fix it, then we've done no good. Now, James was talking about the Word of God. When you look into the Word of God, it's a mirror. It reflects back on you. When you read God's Word, it'll show you all kind of imperfections on yourself. Amen? If you don't take time to fix those things, you haven't done any good. Well, we'll spend more time trying to fix everybody else's problems. Everybody else's imperfections. I can find a lot of fault in you, but boy, I don't find me in myself. Amen? Am I telling it like it is? That's the truth. But we become busybodies. We begin to look and try to find things. And hey, we ought to just take care of ourselves. Pray that God will make us the example that we should be. Number three, we have the grumbler. Now, this is the person that waits on certain people to leave the room before they talk. I'm not going to talk while the preacher's in the room. I'll wait till he leaves. And when the preacher leaves, I'm going to nail it home. But I ain't going to do it while he's here. They wait for them to leave the room. You see, most of the time, these people want to undermine authority. Most of the time, these people want to tower over authority and call the shots. But they don't want the preacher to know it, or they don't want the rulers to know it. But they want to try to get it started among the other people. You see, ever heard this said? Well, I just want to vent my frustrations. You ever heard that? Y'all never heard that? I just want to vent. I just want to vent. What does that mean? I mean, I want to let it out, I guess. Well, I say go out in the car and vent. Amen. Turn the AC on. It may get hot. I want to vent my frustration. Now, we get frustrated. I know that. I get frustrated. But Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth friends. Number four, you have the slanderer. This is the person who shares gossip for one intent only, to purposely hurt someone else. And by the way, yes, there are people out there who will purposely hurt you. There are people out there who will purposely try to make you look bad. There are people out there who, whether they're telling the truth, by the time people reaches this point, they don't care whether they're telling the truth or not. Right. Amen? They'll say whatever it is that makes them look good and you look bad. And the sad part is the one who's willing to listen to that person. I would invite you something today. This is what I would invite you. If you ever hear anything about this preacher, then I'll invite you to come and ask him. Amen. You just come and ask him. And if it's true, I'll tell you it's true. And if it's not, I'll tell you it's not. Amen. My number one goal in this life is to live my life so nobody can point a finger. Amen. I'm flesh just like everybody else. But I ask God every day. I said, God, I don't know what I'm facing out there in that world today. But whatever it is, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my God to be pleased with what I do today. Amen. I don't want to be held in accusation. I don't want to be held in a false report. Because God has given me, and by the way, it thrills my heart, Jeff, when I stand up here and see these seats filling up. Oh, it just blesses my heart all over. It blesses my heart all over. Because it tells me something's going right somewhere. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you, as your pastor, I've caught a lot of ridicule. I've caught a lot of ridicule in this town. But I don't care. I serve God. I promise God I'll do nothing but preach the gospel. I'll preach it, God, to the best of my intent. If they want to say, by the way, they've accused your preacher of doing some things he's not doing. He's not doing it. All I'm doing is preaching the gospel. I just preach it like it is. And God said, you just go right ahead. You know what he told me? He said, you preach the word and I'll bless the word. Amen. And so there are slanderers out there. whose purpose is to ruin what's going on, whose purpose is to ruin the reputation of people. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm convinced of this, that God will take care of those things. I got no business worrying about those things. I got no business getting discouraged about those things. I'll just keep hammering away at the building and let God raise up the building. Amen. Psalm 101 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." Now, why do people gossip? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Proverbs gives you the answer. Proverbs 26 and verse 22, he gives you the answer. The words of a talebearer, that's a gossiper, are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now that word wounds, when it says the words of a talebearer are wounds, that word wounds means morsels. So you know what he's saying? Gossip goes into some people like good food. Amen. Some people live for gossip. Why in the world do you think when you go to Walmart that when you stand in Walmart line, the tabloids are all there plumb full of gossip? Surely to goodness you don't buy them things. Well, you know, so-and-so's marriage breaked up. Somebody gained 500 pounds. Well, who cares? I'm going to tell you what. Amen. Well, who cares? Oprah won't eat nothing but bread. Who cares? I never seen one that says Jesus died for your sins. You know why? Because that ain't a fairy tale. That's the truth. They don't want the truth. Woo! I read one yet said Jesus coming again. Amen. You know why? Because that's truth. Amen. People love gossip. Well, people love it. It goes down into their bellies as morsels. Fills them up. Let me give you this. What are you to do if someone brings gossip to you? Proverbs gives you the answer. Don't you love the book of Proverbs? It gives you the answer. What do you do if somebody brings gossip to you? Well, Proverbs 20 and 19. The Bible says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer," that's a gossiper, "revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." The word meddle means to pass over, pass through, run from, get away from. Proverbs says if somebody brings you gossip, walk away. Don't get involved. Don't have anything to do with it. Turn away from him. Pass on through because you don't need it. Amen. Hey, why should we turn away from a gossiper? Because odds are, let me tell you this. Odds are, if they will gossip about someone in your presence, they'll gossip about you in someone else's presence. Amen? Because if you hang around gossip long enough, you will soon find yourself given to the same gossip. Now, what are you to do if you're the one being gossiped about? Well, what are we to do then, I guess is the question we'd ask. 1 Peter 4 and 8. Here's what he says. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You know what we're to do if someone comes to us with gossip, or if someone's gossiping about us? We are to be quiet and give ourselves to prayer and to the love of God. The next time you hear something that burns in you to tell, or you hear somebody says, you know, this is what's going around town about you. This is what I heard across the street. This is what I heard at the beauty parlor. This is what I heard at the barbershop. You know, the first thing that comes when you hear that kind of stuff is, boy, I want to take vengeance. But that's not what the Bible says. We have to be quiet and let God deal with those things, because God will deal with them. And the next time gossip comes your way, listen, why don't you let it be the one it stops at? And begin to seek God and to see whether it's true. And if it is true, then it's time for prayer. Amen? It's time for God's help. Gossiping damages people. Gossiping is found in every circle. It's found everywhere. And it does a lot of damage. I'm going to give the rest of my time to five more things on your list. You still have your list? This is 26 through 30. For you all that have not had the rest of the list, I keep saying it, but I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to back up and give them to you. There's 40 things by the time I'm done here to help us master our speech. Number 26 today is avoid exaggerating the truth. Now, we don't need to add to the truth to make it more exciting. Just simply tell the truth. Amen? Job said in Job 27, verse 4, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. You know, we are to speak the truth, but sometimes we like to exaggerate and we like to make things sound better than they are or worse than they are. You know, the worst thing in the world is somebody making things sound worse than they are. I know there's bad things, but we ought to always try to look at the brighter side than the lower side. And yes, there's things we got to deal with, and yes, there's things we got to do, but we don't need them to be worse than they are. Amen. God delights in the truth, and God gives nothing but truth. You see, Psalm 31 and verse 6, the Bible says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Proverbs 12 and 22, the Bible says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So we need not exaggerate the truth. Number 27, mean what you say and keep your word. Mean what you say and keep your word at what you say. You see, James, back to the book of James, the book of right living. James chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Now, I know sometimes we say we're going to do things and sickness comes or problems come. You see, that's different. Things will happen in our lives. But if you say, I'm going to do something, you ought to have every intent to do it. Unless something absolutely comes, you can't. We ought to be people known for keeping our word. That tells the truth. You know, there are some people that if they tell me something, I've got to investigate it, because I'm not for sure whether I'm getting it straight or not. You see, we need to be people that people knows it's being told the truth. I know we carry on sometimes, but we ought to be given to the truth. Number 28, if we must brag, then let's brag on God. Amen. Amen. If we must brag, let us brag on God. Psalm 20 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. People are bragging on everything they have and everything they do, but very few in our world today are bragging on the true and living God. And that's getting farther and farther and farther. People bragging on God. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 14, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and shewest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee in all their hearts. Listen, we are to brag on God today. Amen. What God has done for our families, how God has taken care of us through hard times, through good times, through lean times, through fat times. God has took care of us, and we are to brag to a lost and dying world that it's all about God. It has nothing to do with me. To God be the glory. I'm going to tell you what, how God has blessed this church over here beside the road has not one thing to do with me. It has everything to do with God, because it is God that's presented in the house of God. And when you present God, there's a movement of God. Amen. You come into this house, you're going to get God. You're going to get the Word of God. Souls are being saved. Hey, souls are being saved. Hey, that's worth it all right there. Little children are being saved. Kids are being saved. Hallelujah. Huh. Number 29. Our lips must preserve the Word of God. Malachi 2 and 7, the Bible says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Every child of God is one of God's messengers. When you leave this house today, you're a messenger of God. Are you preserving God's word? Are you preserving God? Are the people you're encountering seeing God? When you go out after church today, you go out somewhere to eat, are you showing God? Or do you begin to grumble because you have to wait 45 minutes? Think about it. Do we fuss and gripe? Our lips should preserve the Word of God. Number 30, put our mouth to the test. And then put your mouth to the test and then ask you, can I pass the test? Psalm 17 and 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Let God put us to the test and make every effort to pass that test. Psalm 139, and I'm finished today. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Today we ought to say, God, search me and know me. Hey God, if there's something in there that shouldn't be, then let's have a house cleaning. Amen. Maybe here today, and some of these messages, many of them just said, preacher, these messages have so helped me. They've so helped me to realize a fault in my life. They've so helped me to realize that I'm not doing things pleasing unto God. And hey, that's okay. That's where we got to get. We got to get to the point. We got to realize we're not pleasing God. We're not doing the things God would have us to do. And then let's take a turn upward and begin to let God have those things and let God toss them things out and let God begin to live in our lives and let God begin to speak in our lives. Let me tell you something. You'll see a multitude of difference in the world around you. You'll see a multitude of difference in yourself. But most importantly, God will be pleased with His children. Amen. Now, if you're lost today, you got to get saved. You can't live for God. You can't be what you should be for God unless you're a child of God. So if you're here today and you're lost, I would encourage you to get saved. Jesus is coming. He's coming at any time and any day. If you're not ready, you'll miss. But boy, if you are, you'll take off from here. Let's get saved and live our life to please God. Tommy, let's sing a song this morning. Won't you come today? Maybe you're here and just want to pray. I would encourage you to use the altars of God and cry out to God for help for yourself, for your wife, for your children, for your family, you know, whatever it is. We all need help. And God is our help today, folks. And so we got to trust in that. And the devil doesn't want anything. He doesn't want anything to do with this. And if he can slip in gossip, or if he can slip in murmuring, because we've been preaching about all these things, and complaining and arguing, he will. But, oh boy, we can keep it out. And let me tell you something. When we keep it out, boy, how the Spirit of God flows. Amen. Let's stand and sing.